So we're going to be in John chapter 10, and you know, for the avid Bible reader, if I come up to you on the street and I said John chapter 10, you're going to know what John chapter 10 is, because it's a pretty famous chapter, amen? Week before, by the way, Sherry, it's good to see you, man. Me and Sherry go back 20 years, man, all the way to Willow Park Baptist Church, and that's Mark sitting beside her. Everybody say hi. I know people love it when they get pointed out, amen? But we go way back, man. We go way, 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 wow, I'm old, back. But last time I preached anyway, we were in John chapter 9, and what we seen was Jesus and the disciples were walking along the way just after they tried to stone him to death, if you'll remember, and there was a blind man who had been born blind. And the disciples asked Jesus, he said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither. He was born this way, that God's glory may be shown. Amen. But I want you to notice something, and I want to just, as we go into this John chapter 10, because when the disciples seen that man sitting there, they saw a sinner. But when Jesus saw him, he saw someone in need. And listen, how you and I see things is going to determine the actions that you and I take. You follow me? Jesus seen someone who needed something, who had a need. And what did he do? He met that need. But not only did he meet that need, when the guy was kicked out of the fellowship and he was in the temple, Jesus went and what? Found him. And said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, no, but tell me that I might believe. And Jesus said, I am he. And what happened? He got saved. Jesus met a need, right? And it ended in a man getting saved. It's important that you and I see things the way God wants us to see things. Amen? If you're visiting with us, man, that's what we do. We go through books. We keep things in context. We keep things in setting. 9 a.m., we're going through the book of Isaiah, word by word, line by line, precept by precept, and we'll do the same here on Sunday mornings. We're going to be in John chapter 10. We're going to go through the whole of John chapter 10. You say, Pastor, you're going to keep me here late? No, I'm not, because I know after a certain amount of time, I lost you. Most of you, I just want you to know, you're out there, but you ain't out there. Huh? The attention span, it seems like get less and less and less, but I'm training you for a certain amount of time. Amen? All right, so today's title is going to be, I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd. So two I am statements here in chapter 10, right? Jesus has already told us, I am the bread of life. He who eats from me will have life forever. He already told us, he is the light of the world, and he who walks in light, in his light, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, with all of his I am statements, there seems to be something that comes along with it, and that's eternal life. But what does I am mean? Yeah, don't even try to figure that out. But that's who God is. Remember when Moses was at the burning bush, and he said, God, he said, who should I tell him who sent me? He said, I am. My God is I am. My God is the creator God. He had no beginning and he had no end. Amen? That's my God and that's my Savior. So, this will be the fourth I am statement. He's got three more after this. Next week, when he raises Lazarus from the dead, amen? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 14, he said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 15, he says, I am the vine. Unless thou abide in me, then you are dead. Amen? Today we'll be looking at the gate and the good shepherd. Are you a sheep?
Yes.
I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. And you know what else I am? I'm a bride. And you know what? I've noticed throughout my years, if I can just be a sheep and a bride, then I can be everything God wants me to be. I can be that servant. I can be everything he wants me to be if I'll just be that sheep and if I'll just be that bride. Amen? Oh, our newest member is not happy. Amen. Look, she stuck with me, all right? She don't get to pick her pastor. That's probably why she's crying, Chris. Huh? The reason she's crying is because she's a baby and she's probably hungry. Oh, you already fed her? She is kind of chunky like Daddy. Amen? She looked just like Daddy. If you ever thought, could Andy be a pretty girl? Yeah, he could. Sure. All right, church should be fun. Amen? Are you ready now to receive the Word of God? All right, let's open it up. Let's get going, man, here in verses 1 through 5. Listen, I'm not going to break any theological news to you today. All right? It's not, because this is really simply written. Right? Really simply explained. Jesus speaks just plainly here this morning. And he speaks talking about a gate and talking about a shepherd. So he talks about something that these people would have been well aware of. A sheep and a shepherd. You know, a sheep gave them food. It gave them milk. It gave them sacrifice. It gave them clothing. A sheep was a big part of the culture and the society of Israel at this time. You get that, right? So that's why Jesus is using this. Because they would have, you would have thought, understood from where he was coming, right? All right. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, I want you to know. So he's just picking up from last week. All right? It's just a continuation. You can take the chapter 10 and just erase it, and it's just a continuation from chapter 9. Amen? Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter by the sheep pen, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Amen? Amen? What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament. I'm the one who is coming the right way. And anybody else that says they came and were the Messiah, they were thieves and they were robbers. But I'm the one who was born of a virgin. I'm the one who was born in Nazareth, who came from Nazareth. I'm the one who's healing the sick, raising the dead, healing the lame, giving the blind sight. I am the one who came the expected way. Amen? The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And a lot of people say, well, that sounds like maybe it's John the Baptist, because John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. I don't particularly think that's the case, because he's talking about something that would have happened in that culture and in that time. So just follow me here for a minute. He says, and his sheep listen to his voice. Do you listen to his voice? He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Oh, man. Oh, man, I know what it's like to be let out. Do you know what it's like to be let out? When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him. Why? Because his sheep know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Amen? How are you going to recognize the truth? By knowing it. Amen? That's the only way you're going to recognize it, is by knowing it. Now, Jesus talks to them in a way that you think, in this culture, in this society, that they would understand. Now, he's not talking to them from a physical perspective, is he? Because Jesus never talks from a physical perspective. He always speaks from a spiritual perspective. Amen? But I want to show you something, because at night, when all these shepherds, and they would bring all their sheep in, and they would bring them into town, and there was this one central sheepfold, and all the shepherds would send all their sheep into that one central sheepfold. So there might be hundreds, if not thousands, of sheep in here, but they all had different shepherds. There might be 10 or 12 shepherds' sheep in there. Amen? So what Jesus is saying is, hey, when he gets there, The gatekeeper opens the gate and he starts to call his sheep. And do you know that only his sheep come out? Because his sheep know his name. And another shepherd they will not follow. Amen. You follow me? Isn't that a beautiful picture? You'd think these people would have understood what he was saying. But that's what he's saying here. My sheep know my voice. And he says, I call them and I lead them out. I want you to notice something. Picture this. He isn't driving them. He's leading them. You know why? Because they want to follow. And because they know his voice. Do you know his voice this morning? You know how important it is if you claim to be a sheep to know the shepherd's voice? It's imperative. I'll say, yeah, I know it. I just don't listen to it. You know, I know it, but, you know, I try to ignore it. Come on, man. My sheep follow me. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and I lead them out. Lead them out of what? Oh, my goodness. There's not enough time for me to tell you everything the Lord has led me out of. And he continues to lead me out of stuff. Come on. But he leads me out of it. He's not pushing me. He's not shoving me. He's loving me. He's caring for me. And that makes me want to be led by him. Amen. What a beautiful picture, man. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. By name, Chris. Amen. His sheep follow him because they know his voice and they have a stranger's voice. They will not follow. Sometimes, do you have two voices on your shoulder? Come on. Oh, go ahead. Nobody's going to know. Well, that's the wrong voice. Amen? Do the right thing. Be a righteous person. All right, let's read verses 6 through 10. Jesus used this figure of speech or this metaphor, but listen, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Now, we've been in the book of John now for 18 weeks. Do you know how many times that Jesus has said stuff to these people, right? And tried to explain stuff to them, but they just could not understand. Amen? You know why, right? Because they can only see things from a physical perspective. They can't understand these spiritual words in which Jesus is speaking. Why? Because it takes someone who is willing and has the desire to hear Jesus in order to hear Jesus. Are you following? Do you want to hear Jesus? I want to hear him. I want to hear everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And there is some good, and there's some bad, and there's some ugly. Amen. All right, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Again, he says in verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Amen. All right, I should get more than one amen there. Come on. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Not maybe, not could be, will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. The thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I like the New King James better because it says that you might have it abundant or abundantly. Amen. That you might have life and have it in abundance. Not just surviving. Amen? Thriving in every situation. No matter what life brings. That's abundant life. So Jesus here, I want you to know, he uses another illustration of a shepherd and a sheep and the whole culture thing. Because when the shepherds would go out and they would take their sheep out to pasture, they would take them out to feed them and get them all fattened up, they would build these temporary shelters. All right, it might be of rock, it might be of limbs, but they would build it. Maybe it was, you know, maybe they could find an end cut in the side of a mountain, but they would build these, and when it got hot in the heat of the day, then he would put them in these, the shepherd would put them in these temporary shelters, right? And listen, I want to show you a picture, because the shepherd himself would become the gate. There would be no gate. The shepherd himself would lay himself in front of that. And he would be the literal gate. They knew that physically, but they just couldn't seem to comprehend it spiritually. Amen. I want you to notice something, because this is important. Jesus says, I am the gate of the sheep. And if you got the New King James, it says door. I like either one. Gate, door, amen? So when you think of a gate, what is it you think of? We think of an entry point, right? An entry point, a way through, a way out of something, into something else, right? I mean, something you have to open up, something you have to enter in through, right? And that's what Jesus is saying, that our way to true peace is through Him. Our way to true joy is only through Him. Our way to salvation is only through Him. Amen? He is not a gate. He is the gate. Amen? That's what He says here, right? I am the gate of the sheep. So Jesus is not a way, a method, a path. That's not what He's saying, is it? He's saying, I am the way and the path, the only way. And if you're going to be back into the kingdom of God, or if you're going to find your way back into fellowship with God, there's only one gate you can go through. There's only one door you can go through, and that is Jesus Christ. Do you remember? Listen, I remember, Chris, when I walked through that gate. Huh? I remember when I walked through that gate. Don't you? Don't you remember when somebody preached the Word of God and you got saved and you gave your life to Christ? You know what you did? You walked through that gate. The only gate. The only gate that you could have walked through. Man, isn't God good? All the time. Would you agree with me this morning that there's so much noise in the world today? So many different voices, right? Pulling you this way, pulling you that way. You got Mormons, you got Jehovah's Witnesses, you got Islam, you got Buddhists, you got all these other thieves and robbers, right? Promising you the truth, promising you fulfillment, promising you life. But here's what I want you to know. Jesus said all of these people, these are the muggers in the spiritual world. These are the con men of the spiritual world. You hear me? Because there's only one way. One way to get back to heaven. One way to get back to the presence of God. One way. Every other way is a lie and a delusion. One way. One path. And that's a narrow path. Amen. You know what? Dang, that was a nice gate. Do you know what that did for me? Do you know walking through that gate, hearing that truth, and walking through the gate of Jesus Christ, I walked from death to life? I mean, come on. Somebody should say amen besides Debbie. Maybe you need to walk through the gate. Huh? Because that's not something you forget. Especially when you know what came with it. And the benefits that came with it. And the life that came with it. And the joy that came with it. And the peace that came with it. Man, it changes your whole life. God is good. He says, go in and out and find pasture. Go in and out and find pasture. You know what that says? Man, that speaks of God's protection. Go in and out and find pasture. That means I can just live my life under the protection and under the safety, under the security, and under the promise of my God. Do you understand that? Come on, man. You know what that means? I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be scared. I can go in, I can go out, and I can find pasture. Yes, I don't have to be afraid. So when I read these words, you come in and you go out and you find pasture, it screams freedom in Christ to me. Freedom to have, to know whatever's coming your way, you have the power and the authority to have victory in that. Everything. Nothing's excluded. Come on. Even death itself. Man, you ought to be walking a little better. Huh? I'm a child of God. I got protection. I got security. Listen, I want to come in. I want to go out. And I want to find pasture. Because my God has me. And you know what? I'm following Him. He's leading me and I'm following Him. Amen. Now, you know what? I know it don't take me long to figure out when I've lost my... when I'm following something else. No, because then I'd be turning into a goat. Right? What noise does a goat make? Yeah, I don't either, Chris, because I'm not a goat. Bah, I know what a sheep does. Because I'm a sheep, amen? All right, go in and out and find pasture. I love that. Man, I got freedom in Christ. And so do you, man. Freedom. Freedom from all of that stuff in the world. The trials, the tribulations. I'm not saying they're not going to come. They are. But you got the victory. You got the victory. Quit living in defeat. You walked through the gate, man. Oh, you walked out of the world. Yes, victory is yours. That's right, Emily. That's right. Victory is mine based on what Jesus Christ did for me. Amen. All right, let's read verses 11 through 21. So Jesus said, I'm the gate, right? Now he says, I am the good shepherd. How many good shepherds are there? And I got the right one, baby. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. What is Jesus saying, man? He's saying, look, you came through the gate. And when you came through the gate, I became your good shepherd. And I am the good shepherd. And listen, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. No matter what comes in your life. You understand? He's not going to run away like a hired hand. You know why? Because he takes ownership of the sheep. I just want to go bah. I just want to bah. You know what I mean? Yes, Lord, here I am. Bah. I think he understands what I'm saying when I bah. I don't know. Ah, isn't God good, man? That's what he's saying here. He's not a hired hand. He's not going to leave you. Doesn't he make that promise over and over and over again? Deuteronomy 31:6, Joshua 1:5, Hebrews 13:5. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Dang it. But the devil wants you to feel that way. The devil wants you to feel that way. But it's a lie. Because just like Emily said, I am victorious. And God will never leave me and never forsake me. He is always there leading me. Amen. Sometimes I try to lead him. Huh? It's called a train wreck. Just saying. I know my limitations. Doesn't mean I always abide by them, but I do know them. Don't you? All right. I am the good shepherd. He says it again, just in case you didn't get it, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I want you to see something there, because this is relational. It's not just one knows one. Come on. But there's a relationship. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father who who is in heaven. And he says, many will say to me on that day, did we not cast out demons, do many wonderful works? Did we not prophesy in your name? And I will tell them plainly, depart from me, I never knew you. Do you know what a relationship is? It's about not only you knowing him, but it's pretty important that he knows you. Come on, man. That's what he's saying here. My sheep know me and I know them. He knows everything about me. And he still loves me. Imagine that. And he still loves me. Listen, look at the kind of relationship in verse 15. He says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But do you understand what he's saying here? Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, that's the kind of relationship that he wants with you. You get it? How personal and how intimate that is? Verse 16, somebody should say amen here, right, Bruce? I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock over and one shepherd. That's a shout out for the Gentile right there. Come on. So I want you to know, even though Jesus is talking to Jews, he mentions you because you're on his mind right here. Hey, I have other sheep who are not of this sheepfold, who are not of the Jewish descent, and I must get them as well and bring him into the sheep pen. And he speaks of one sheep pen and one shepherd. Listen, if we don't have unity here at New Life Fellowship Church, we don't have anything. You understand? Because he is the shepherd of unity. Amen? Isn't God good? All right. Verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. You! Man, on the cross, I want you to know something. When Jesus said it is finished, he decided when it was finished. You hear me? He decided when to lay down his life. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he decided to take his life up again. Why? Because he is God. He is God. Listen, I don't care what other religion, and to me, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But no other person makes that claim. Amen? I lay it down and I take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but my Father has given me authority to take it, lay it down and take it up again. Jesus said it is finished when Jesus decided it was finished. That's your Savior. You get that? That's the one who's watching over you. That's the gate you entered. That's the shepherd of the, that's your shepherd. Remember today in Isaiah? The bad shepherds? The watchmen, the dogs. Man, we are so, so fortunate. All right. The Jews who heard these words were what? Again, divided. Many of them said he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Listen to me. When people don't have an answer for the truth, the next thing they're going to do is try to ridicule you. Amen? You know what I say? Hallelujah! Because in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, it says, blessed are you who are persecuted, for you shall see the kingdom of heaven. Come on, man. Persecute away. I can take it, man. You're not really persecuting me anyway. If I'm speaking the truth, you're persecuting the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen? I don't need to defend the truth. Huh? Listen, the truth is the truth. You understand that? You know, for the last 4 years, we've been living lies. It's nice to see a little bit of truth. Amen? Oh, man, I was telling them in Bible study this morning, listen, the truth cannot be broken. The truth cannot be broken. But I want you to know this. Everything that sets itself up against the truth will be broken. Amen. But the truth, you can put it out there. You can stand on it. It has all power and all authority. It does not need you and I to defend it. It only needs you and I to speak it. And what does God say in Isaiah 50, 55? My word will accomplish that for which I set forth. That what I please it will accomplish. Amen? Speak the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. All right. So I want you to see here, there's a division, right? Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So that tells you too there that that's the same group of people who watched him open the eyes of the blind who were accusing him, right, of healing on the Sabbath, right? But I want you to notice something. Some people believed he was demon-possessed and raving mad, but others believed that he wasn't. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see the division because it's important for you and I to understand this, especially in our everyday life. Please hear me. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, I did not come to bring peace. What did he say he came to bring? Division. Listen to me. I did not come to bring peace, but division. Mother against daughter. Father against son. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And he goes on. Amen. He came to bring a sword. And what is that division? Who is that division? It's the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Amen. And I say that because, man, sometimes in our own families, there's division. And that division really hurts us. It does, man. When we can't get a child or a loved one or a spouse or an uncle or an aunt to see the truth, it hurts us. But Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. Amen? And that's what he brought. And he is that division. He is that division. What fellowship does light have with darkness? None. They can't understand what we have. They can't see what we have. They don't know what we have. All we can do is keep praying for them and showing them just how much better it is in this gate. Huh? Than it is outside of that gate or outside of that door. And how much better it is to have a good shepherd. Right? Instead of us being our own shepherd. Oh, man, I screwed everything up when I was my own shepherd. So did you, didn't you? Isn't it good to have a shepherd like Jesus Christ? All right. In the culture of the roles of shepherd, we know it wasn't a glamorous one, was it? It wasn't at all. It was a job that required work. It required dedication. It required a deep love for these stinky, smelly, stupid animals. Bah. Come on, man. The shepherd, he would lead the sheep into green pastures. He would provide for them fresh water. He would protect them from their predators, even risk his life for their safety. Am I right? This is the image that Jesus uses to describe his relationship with me and you. If you could ever just get a hold of that, I mean, just really, truly get a hold of that. He is our shepherd. He is leading us, is he not? He says, leads them out. He is guiding us. He's providing for us, is he not? He's protecting us. And ultimately, and he mentions this himself, he will go to the cross and lay down his life for us. I don't know, man. My Savior's pretty awesome. I just want you to know that. All right, let's read the last, starting in verse 22. If you'll notice here, there's a little bit of a switch here because they seem to be in a different place. So I don't know how much time has went by here, but what I am sure of is they're in a, is some time has gone by. All right, now listen, and you'll see what I mean. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was now in what? The temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. So when you look up that word winter there, it doesn't mean it was winter. I know that's what it says, but there's two definitions for the word winter. It could either be that season, or it could be it was rainy and stormy. Now, the reason Jesus is in Solomon's colonnade is because it was a porch and it was covered. So when I looked that word up in the original language, it meant there was a storm or a tempest going on. Amen? Are you following me? All right. I know you say, well, what does that matter? It's just the truth. The truth can be this big or this big, but it's still the truth. Amen? All right. Verse 24. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Hey, oh, the patience of Jesus. Right? Because, you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've came across these kind of people, haven't you? Huh? Yeah, here's your sign. Man. You know, when I read that, verse 24, it says the Jews who were there gathered around him. When you read the New King James Version, it says they surrounded him. So I want you to know something. Jesus is walking through Solomon's porch, Solomon's colonnade, and they just surround him. All right? They just, almost like it's aggressive. Yeah. Tell us plainly. Yeah, he's probably got a sign around his neck. Here's your sign. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. Amen? And listen, these are the same people he's been telling over and over and over and over. But why? Why is he telling them so many times? Because he doesn't want any to perish, man. He doesn't want any to perish. And don't think for a moment that he doesn't love these people. Don't think for a minute that he didn't come to seek and to save all that was lost. Because he did. But clearly, some people are so far introverted, stuck on themselves, that they just can't hear the truth. Amen? And those are the kind of people you just want to slap right in the face. Amen? Don't tell me that ain't ever crossed your mind. It has for me from some of you. Praise God for the patience of Jesus. Take that thought captive right there. Amen? All right. Where am I at? Verse 25. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe. Why? Because you are not my sheep. Ouch. How do you know it's not a sheep? Because my sheep know my voice. And they listen and they follow me. Amen? But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. Verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Just in case you didn't get it the first time. I give them eternal life. I don't know if that strikes you as it does me, but when I hear that, I understand what it is. I understand what I've been delivered from. I understand that I will no longer burn in hell. Amen, but I will spend eternity with my Father and my Savior in heaven, and that is huge. That is huge. I give them eternal life, and listen, they shall never perish. Listen to what Jesus says. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Huh? Isn't that cool? That means me. Right? But he's not done. Listen. Listen. He says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Wait a minute. You mean I am in the hand of Jesus and then I'm in the hand of God? I challenge anybody to snatch me from there. That is unsnatchable. Amen? And then he says, the six most powerful words in the entire Bible in verse 30. Right after he says that, no one can snatch them out of my hand, my Father who is greater than I, no one can snatch them out of his hand. And then he says, I and the Father are one. Amen? You got to get Jesus right. And listen, when you look at Jesus, you're looking at God. You're just looking at God in the flesh. But he is God. He is just as much God as God the Father is. He is God the Son. He is I and the Father. Remember what he told Philip in John chapter 14, verse 9? He said, Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. My Savior? The sheep, you know, the pen, the gate? He's God. I'm in his hand. And nobody can snatch me out. I want you to know something this morning. If I could snatch myself out, I would. I would. I'm a sheep. But I have a good shepherd. And he won't allow that to happen. Amen. And he won't allow that to happen to you either. Yeah, I don't ever want to go out. But I do find myself, you know, outside of the pen sometimes. Huh? Hey, I like because y'all who laughed, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? All right. Oh, never snatched out, man. All right. I and the Father are one. And you know that just PO'd them right there. Come on. Jesus makes that claim, man. These Pharisees, they are mad, red-faced, angry. All right. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. Can you picture you have a mind's eye like me? Because now these guys, listen, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. It's almost like he said, pah. Huh? Hey, oh, by the way, me and the Father, we're one. They start picking up stones, man. Don't think that their actions don't dictate what they're feeling, because they are mad. They are absolutely mad. So Jesus picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? You know, my Savior can be sarcastic sometimes. We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied. But for what? Blasphemy. Because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Listen to me. That's why it's so important that you get Jesus right. Because if you don't, you'll only see him as a mere man. But he is not a mere man. He is absolutely God. Amen? And then Jesus is going to quote from Psalms 82 here. You can go there and look that up. Jesus answered, it is not written in your law, I have said you are gods. And he's talking about those who were given the right to judge. And God called them gods, little gods, because they were determining people's lives. Amen? And then look at what he says here. If you call them gods to whom the word of God came, and Scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Amen? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's Son? Oh, man. This is a great chapter. How important is it that you understand that Jesus is God? I want you to know something this morning. Listen to me. It's very important. If you don't believe Jesus is God, you are not saved. You can't be saved unless you understand Jesus is God. Amen? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And what is Jesus saying? He's calling them out because these Pharisees, these scribes, they should have known what the Messiah and who the Messiah was and what he would do when he came. He says, hey, if you can't believe me, at least believe the works that the prophets told you years and years and years and years ago, over and over and over and over and over, the works that I would do. But he can't get through to them. Some people you just can't get through to. Amen? Verse 39. Again, they tried to seize him. They got stones in their hands right now. But it says he escaped their grasp. How many times have we seen that? Oh, up to John chapter 10, we've seen it at least 4 or 5 times. You know why? Because it's all in his time. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed. Listen, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, amen? Who's he? What, John? John the Baptist. All that John said about this man was true. What did John say? Oh, he said some fantastic statements, right? Oh, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. Amen? What a great chapter. So as we go through about this, man, I want you to picture this. Jesus is doing what? Speaking the truth. That's what he's doing. And what are these people doing? They got stones in their hand. They want to kill him. But what does he do? Run? No. What does he do? He continues just speaking the truth and just walks away from their grasp. Amen? That's your Savior, and that's my Savior. So today, what is it about? Is it about salvation? It's always about salvation. It's about you and I knowing who the gate is. Knowing who the gate is. And that there's only one gate. Oh, did you get it right?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it right. At least 2 of us got it right. 3 of us got it right. Listen, man, when you go through the right gate, you're going to find something. What are you going to find? You're going to find the Good Shepherd. Because the Good Shepherd is only within the confines of that gate. If you get one, you got the other. If you would, stand with me. I asked you in the beginning, man, are you a sheep? Because if you are, and you belong to the sheepfold of Jesus, then he knows you, right? You know his voice, right? Because he knows your sheep. And what does he call them by? Name. Chris, has God ever said, hey, Chris? Has he ever said, hey, Chris? Oh, he knows me by name. And you know what? Oh, that conviction can be deep. Depending on which way he chooses to call me by name. But he calls me by name, and you know what? I'm so thankful. I know that voice. That voice is evidence that I am in the right sheep pen. And that I have the right shepherd, man. I got the good shepherd. He says, man, whoever enters through that gate will be saved. Are you saved this morning? That means you went through the right gate, right? They will come in and go out and find pasture. I want you to remember that, man, because it speaks of your freedom in your Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, man, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You don't have to just survive. Please, man, you don't have to just survive. You belong to God, man. You can thrive in every situation. Look at all the promises he gives us right here in just one chapter. He said he never abandons the sheep. You may feel abandoned, but you're not abandoned. And if you are feeling abandoned, it's not God. It's the enemy who wants you to feel abandoned, because that's where he wants you. But you got to believe that God said, I will not leave the sheep. Amen. No matter what comes. No matter what comes, right? I am not a hired hand. I own the sheep. And I will protect my sheep, even to the point of risking my life and laying down my life for them sheep. He says, he gives the sheep eternal life. Eternal life. You know what? I had no idea what that was until I got saved. But I know how rich it is right now. I absolutely understand how rich it is right now. And just to top that off, in case it wasn't enough, he said, you are in my hand. And no one can snatch you out of my hand. Huh? And you and my Father, who is greater than I, you are in his hand, and no one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. I just want you to know how secure that is. There is no place more secure than what Jesus has described and where you and I are. Do you get that? It's not a matter of when we get to be in heaven. It's not a matter of if, I mean. Right? It's a matter of when we get to be in heaven and spend eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you are going to beat me there, but I'm going to beat some of you there. Amen. You know, everybody in this room has a number. You know, if God knows right now, in order, each of us, when we'll take our last breath. Don't be afraid of that, man. Listen to me. Go in, go out, and find pasture. Live your life, man. Not in fear and all those things, but in freedom, because of all the promises that God has given us this morning. Amen. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to open up the invitation time. Listen to me, man. If you've never walked through that gate, please come down here this morning. Let me open that gate up for you. I promise you'll find something amazing on the other side. And he called himself the Good Shepherd. Amen? Christians, man, let's walk in freedom today. Look at what God has promised us this morning. Come and give him thanks this morning. Father, we just come before you, man. I'm just so grateful, Lord. I've been in the bottom. And you took me and you set my feet on solid ground. And all these promises, I believe, Lord. I receive each one of them. Thank you, Lord, for the invitation to come through the gate. Thank you that you are my good shepherd. That you care for me and you protect me. That I'm in your hand and no one can pluck me out. I want everybody to have that this morning, Lord. Specifically those who can hear my voice. If there's anyone that doesn't have that assurance, Lord, I pray they would come this morning and leave here with the assurance they have entered through the right gate. They have the right shepherd. The only shepherd, Lord. May Christians come this morning, Lord. Maybe some need to rededicate their life. Maybe some have been reminded by you this morning just how good you truly are. We need to come and thank you. For whatever reason, Lord, we open up this invitation. That your spirit be listened to. That we would do what it says. Nothing more, nothing less. We love you, Lord, we do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.